Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee.
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. All right, we are a week into training camp. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. Loaded show today, as always. We're going to hear from Christian Fulton. John Glennon and I had a chance to chat with him and just talk all kinds of things. So you'll hear that. We're going to talk a little Will Levis, Malik Willis. These guys have been shining. We got Chris Sanders coming on, Run TMC. And putting all of it together is David James over there.
Yes, sir.
And as we always do, we'll open up with a little just general chatter. Just kind of unloading a clip, right? Get this notebook out. I want to open up with a little Malik Willis and Will Levis talk. And it's been pretty cool watching these guys. You could still see that they're both coming along. They're not exactly where they want to be, and that's fine. I'll start with Levis, and I'll say this, because I know a lot of fans, well, a few fans, he went 17-23 over the weekend and nobody reported. Listen, I'll say it again, just like I always say, stats are like bikinis. They show a lot, but they don't show everything. So me just telling you he went 17-23, that's not telling the full story, okay? Up until Monday, Levis has been solid. A lot of his throws have been short to mid-range, but nothing of significance. So that 17-23, I mean, if you're throwing 5 yards to Kyaris Jackson, if you're throwing, you know, quick outs to Treshawn Harrison, he had a couple good throws, but you could tell. So Levis is really working on learning how to layer the football, right? So those second level throws, right? The corner routes, those type of things. He had one, and the one that everybody raved about, the Chig Okonkwo catch. Well, Chig had to catch it and kind of bobble it as he was going down because the ball was underthrown. Okay, and that's a part of 11. And it's a completion. Hey, that was one of the 17-23. Great. But there's context to it. And then you look at another one of his completions, to Treshawn Harrison on an outbreaking route. He was trying to layer it just, you know, past the corner, right, who had – it was a cover two look. So he was trying to layer it just past the corner who was held by that outside route, smash concept, right? Short route on the outside, deep outbreaking type of route from the slot. Boom. Wants to get it in front of the safety, but behind the corner. So he tried to layer. It was a little bit underthrown. Harrison had to make a shoestring catch. Completion. One of the 17-23. Now, I will say this. Monday and Tuesday, Levis was cooking. Monday specifically, hit his old teammate, Kevin Grigg. It is the tight end, 83, hit Reggie Robertson for a touchdown. I believe it was Harrison he hit one, too. Three reps, three touchdowns, 7-on-7, red zone. Then later that day, he hit Racy McMath. He hit Racy McMath, and it was a really good throw. I remember he came in, so they were rotating snap for snap, and he came in, first snap, under center, boom, looked it off. Looked right over, drilled it back in the end zone, in breaking route, catch, touchdown. He had 5 touchdowns on that day. The next day, Tuesday, he had a couple pretty good throws, now that I remember. He was working a bit. Now, Levis has gotten to work with the twos a bit, so you're starting to see that progression, right, where they're trying to put him on even playing ground, whereas, you know, they're throwing to the same level of talent. He had a couple, and this was the key for me in watching Levis. There was one where he didn't make the adjustment, like change the protection to pick up a blitz. I forget who it was, but they were in there like that. And the play just, it was dead. And after the play, Levis was like, my fault. And you saw him shake his head. Then I watched Tim Kelly, called a play call. And his play calls are pretty long, by the way. I was surprised at the length of them. But anyhow, I watched him call the play in. I saw Levis take it, shake his head, go back to the huddle, call it. Next play, deep pass, Reggie Roberson on a go route. Now, he probably could have scored, but it was underthrown slightly. Hey, look, he got the ball there. Good job doing that. And then the next play, hit Roberson in the corner of the end zone. Probably could have, and I know it sounds like I'm being critical of him. I'm just describing the play. It was a touchdown. He got it there. Might have been a little bit more anticipation on it. Would have made it an even more likely touch, you know, a better looking touchdown. But nevertheless, he got it there. Then the play after that, hit Mason Kinsey. Now, that was a good throw. Contested, trusted his guy. Kinsey went up and got it, took it away from Trey Avery, and it was a touchdown. Those are the things you want to see in your young quarterback, okay? Listen, the 17 for 23 part sounds good, but I think we need to look at each of those, right? And what he did on Monday and Tuesday is better than what he did that whole previous, three or four practices, because those were real big-time plays that he was making. Now, as for Malik Willis, I've continued to see progression with him. There was one play where he there was a little traffic, right? It got a little cluttered in the pocket. He climbed it. He rolled to his left, and Alize Mack rolled with him, and he hit him for a deep gain. And then he had another one, very, very tight window throw across the middle, deep in-breaking route, kind of like a dig to Colton Dowell for a strike. He hit Alize Mack on a seam route. He had another one that was right on point, but Matt couldn't pull it in. It was like a deep over, and he cleared the opposite hash, and it was right over, going towards the numbers, but he just couldn't bring it in. Malik Willis is going through his progressions. He's doing a bit better. Now, there are some times, I will say, he has to let it rip. And one of those was, there was two, actually. There was one on an outbreaking route. I don't remember who it was running the route, but he waited on it and threw it just too late. See, when a receiver is running, and as soon as he breaks down and he puts that inside leg forward and he's going to break out towards the sideline, that ball needs to be out right before he breaks that outside leg forward. Perfect example of that was one time where Ryan Tannehill, who has looked really good, by the way, threw one to Treylon Burks on a deep comeback, and it was just like that. Before Burks even made the break, that ball was on his way. And then he planted, drove back to the ball, nice, easy catch. That's what Willis needed to do on that play. But then there was another one, Reggie Roberson on a post route. Now, I'm going to tell you, he sees it and he gets it out before he makes his break to the inside. That's a touchdown. He didn't believe it, I guess it was, because he saw it, didn't believe it, and let it out a little bit late. And next thing you know, it was down at like the 1 or 2 yard line. That difference is 6 points, you know, so you have to get that together. I think that's something that you'll continue to see them battle. Speaking of battles, there's a couple of them too. You know, you look at Jack Gibbons, Dr. Jack, they call him. The inside backer spot next to Azeez Al-Shaair is very interesting because you're seeing them kind of alternate days where one day it'll be Dr. Jack Gibbons on the first team. The next day, it'll be Monty Rice. They're both making plays. Now, that touchdown where Malik rolled out and hit Alize Mack on the crosser, the deep crosser, Monty Rice was in covers on that one. The seam route, Monty Rice was in covers on that one. You can't have that, right? If you're considered to be the more athletic guy, like, you have to be out there making plays in the passing game. Now, when it comes to sideline to sideline, ranging and going and hitting the dog mess out of the ball carrier, he's going to do that. I watched him go from the left side to the right side, track down, I think it was Jonathan Ward, tracked him down for like a minimal gain. You know, he's definitely making plays from that perspective. Jack Gibbons is just, he's just so cerebral. Like, he's a very, very intelligent. He's not the most athletic guy, but his ability to read and diagnose quickly, allows him to get where the ball is going, and that allows him to make plays. I saw him line up on the outside a couple of times with Tajay Spears, and on the one, he held his own. They had Spears, you know, on the outside. They tried to run a go route. He might have been called for pass interference. Might have. It was ticky-tack, but he had good coverage. And I think those are the things that you have to look at when you're looking at those two, you know, how are they in coverage and also how are they against the run. This team is probably going to use a lot of sub, right, which you know, whether three safety look with Elijah Molden, who Mike Vrabel has said is emerging as the number three safety, or, you know, the nickel having Roger McCreary in there. But they're going to have a lot of that sub look, which means it'll be Al Shire out there by himself. But I've seen Gibbons out there by himself as well, and Monty Rice. So it's going to be interesting watching that. One other battle to keep note of, the right tackle situation. Jamarco Jones has, you know, gotten most of the first team reps. Of course, he got the fight. Well, not the fight, but the little helmet tugging match with Jeffrey Simmons, and they both got booted from practice. And Chris Hubbard came in and worked. You know, he got some significant first team reps. You're seeing those two. John Ojukwu, he's getting, or OJ, as Coach Vrabel calls him, as well as Jalen Duncan. Those are your options there. It's probably going to be Jamarco Jones. Chris Hubbard, like I said, is competing. We'll see. It's really interesting, but I tell you what, going against that defensive line, they're going to get every opportunity to face whatever it is they're going to face this whole year, because those guys are, they have a collection of and a variety of moves and things like that. So just wanted to kind of empty that part out of it, get into a little bit about the different competitions that are going. Those are the three main ones. We're going to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back. Run TMC. We got to talk some receivers with Forever Titan receiver Chris Sanders. What's up, everyone? This is Teron Davenport. I want to tell you about Sarah Chevrolet Buick GMC of Nashville. They took great care of me when I got my brand new Camaro. They have hundreds of new or gently pre-owned vehicles, special discounts, and monthly incentives. They don't have any market adjustments, zero dealer ads. Save, save, save. You could go online to chat, check availability, and purchase your vehicle without ever stepping foot into the dealership. Or you could go there and see my guy, Josh Lemon. Either way, check them out at sarahnashville.com. That's S-E-R-R-A, nashville.com, and tell them TD sent you.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
All right. Lights fade. Music dim. And now, coming to you live from the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, starting at power forward for your 76ers, number 42 out of Wyoming, Theo Ratliff.
Oh, and now, starting for the Tennessee Titans, tight end, Algie Crumpler.
That hit that Brian Dawkins put on him was one of the hardest ever. Dude. They said the sound of it. You could tell it was hard just from how it sounded.
Hey, doesn't it seem like when he runs, he's like, knock knee?
Yeah. Man, I don't know if he can run now, period. I mean, he was really, really big. So hopefully, that was back. Yeah, yeah. That was the Kendall Hunter draft. Kendall. Dang. What's his last name? Not Kendall Hunter.
Right?
Kendall Wright. Hunter out of Oklahoma State, the running back for the 49ers. The Kendall Wright draft. That was that one. That's the last time I saw him in person. I was just like, wow.
So you tell me Algie can play D-tackle right now?
I don't even know if he's playing D-tackle. He might give you one or two snaps. That's it.
So what's going on with you, man? I know you've been kicking into me, Cam. I've been reading your stuff. I've been looking at stuff on page. Man, give me the scoop, man.
Yeah, there is thing after thing happening. We opened up the show, got into Will Levis and Malik Willis a little bit. Those guys, you know, are in a battle. You got another battle and surprise. This is a surprising one, man. Dr. Jack Gibbons and Monty Rice, you know, an inside backer next to Aziz Alshire. But I think the big talk, and we could get into it, a lot of it is, and it's always going to be based around the receivers. I mean, that's something that you see a whole lot of. There's some younger guys, though, that are stepping up. Reggie Robertson has really come alive the last couple of days. You know, you look at him on Monday and on Tuesday, between those 2 days, he has 3 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But he's probably caught about 6 or 7 passes. He could have scored a couple more times, right? Will Levis had him on a go route, underthrew it a little bit, and he had to kind of throttle down and turn around and go up and get it. Then Malik Willis had him on a post, and he had to slow down and catch that one. But Reggie Robertson is one. Treshawn Harrison has really just carried over a solid OTA and minicamp into the first couple of days of training camp. He's flashed. Akiaris Jackson has shown himself as like more of a mid-range pass catcher. So you have those 3 young guys that have definitely stepped up. But it's going to be interesting just seeing how this thing works out. Colton Dow is a guy that I felt would make the roster. In fact, I had him on the roster. I bumped him off once DeAndre Hopkins was signed, and we could get into that 5 or 6 receivers that they'll take. But any of those particular guys stand out or are guys that you wanted to see what they could do?
Yeah, we talked about it earlier. I mean, it's Reggie Robertson. The reason why I say Reggie Robertson is, you know, my son played with him at SMU, and when they found out, when CJ told me that the Tennessee Titans drafted him, CJ was like, "Dad, he is the deal. He runs routes. He's explosive. He can take the top off the defense." So, you know, I said that earlier, and I watched a little bit of his film. Yeah. You know, he's one of those guys that he's explosive, man. You look at him, you don't think he's explosive, but you look at his lower body. He gets out of the cut. He lies with his eyes. He does all those things. And I think that if he keeps doing what he's doing, I think not just playing special teams, but he can make some plays, you know, on the offense this year.
Yeah, he could definitely make some plays on offense. I'm curious how he's going to work in the preseason.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like he's really, truly getting through that knee that he had 2 or 3 years ago. I think that's really the key thing with him. And I mean, it may take longer for other guys, some guys than others, and that could be the case with him.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, the only thing that kind of kept him from really getting drafted is his knee. I mean, a lot of teams don't want to, you know, get a guy when he hurts his knee, but now he's playing with confidence. And last year, you know, when he came in, you know, you can tell he was a little tentative, he wasn't explosive, he was kind of, you know, choppy on his cuts, but now he's playing with confidence, he's trusting the knee, and now he's playing faster. And if you have a guy with that caliber of speed and catch radius, I'm telling you, man, this is a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. As you look at that top 5, though,
sure.
What are you – all right, so let's go over it. We know Hopkins, who, by the way, has seamlessly merged into this offense. It is really like, it seems like Tannehill is going to go his way 2 or 3 times consistently during camp, you know, in practices. So that's something. But you have Hopkins, Treylon Burks, who is definitely – on the upswing. He made a one-handed catch the other day, and it was very impressive. And the thing that I like about that catch he made, talking to him afterwards, it was like, nothing. Like, that's what we're supposed to do. I love that part of it. Then you got Kyle Phillips, who's, you know, been solid. After that, Chris Moore has made some catches, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. I think those are the 5. They'll keep 5 at least, maybe 6. But if they keep 6, who do you think that 6 guy is going to be?
I mean, it's going to be hard. And can I kind of piggyback a little bit of what I kind of said last year? This kind of reminds me of 1999 when we went to the Super Bowl. We had a lot of receivers. We had me, Derek Mason. We had Yancey Thigpen. We had, you know, Bird. We had a whole bunch of receivers. But guys were playing so well that year we kept 7 guys. I mean, that's unheard of. We kept 7 guys. So I'm asking you, TD, could this be the exact same thing that, you know, you got DeAndre Hopkins, you got Treylon Burks, you got NWI, you got Racy McMath, you got Chris Moore, you got Reggie Robinson, you got Mason McKenzie, Treshawn Harrison, and Caris Jackson. You have all those guys. Do you think they can keep 7 guys out of all those guys we just named?
I don't think they're going to keep seven guys.
Because of the quarterback situation?
Exactly. And okay. Because of that, and there's a good chance they keep four tight ends. They may keep four running backs, too. That's the issue, right? So you got, obviously, Okonkwo, Chigakonkwo. You got Josh Wiley. Trevon Wesco is a guy that they're going to use in the blocking. Yeah. And then I've seen a lot of Kevin Rader just working H-back, you know, okay. So because they're not carrying a fullback. So they're probably going to have to, you know, use one of those guys like that. So you have those guys, you know, and Alize Mack is borderline. We'll see what happens with him. I think it's like if they keep a fourth, it's Rader or Mack. Okay. But then you look at the running back situation, Haskins and his deal is still up in the air.
Right.
Obviously Henry Spears, who is going to be heavily involved in the pass game.
He's a dude.
And then Julius Chestnut. And don't forget about Jonathan Ward. He's the guy, he had a big run against the Jaguars in the season finale, and he's a guy too. So those are five guys, you know, vying for what could probably be four spots. So I don't know if they could keep seven receivers with that being said.
And I think the odd man that's probably going to be out, I think even though he's, you know, he consistently shows up at camp and when they get in the games, he kind of disappears. I think Mason Kinsey might be on the bubble.
Yeah.
And I just hate to say that because, you know, what else can you do? You look good in camp, but then you don't really make no plays when the season is at hand. So I don't know. And I know, you know, it's with Treshawn Harrison, I know he's made some plays, but can you keep him? And, you know, all these guys that you got to wonder, okay, can they play special teams? We talked about a little bit about that. You know, but who brings more value and who can be the person to be that 56 guy? So that's what's going to be interesting.
Yeah, see, the thing with Harrison, more specifically with Kinsey and Kiaris Jackson, so these are guys that they have back there on punt returns as well as kick returns.
Yeah.
So that would be their special teams ticket. I will say this about Kinsey, and this is something, you know, as the fans, as you guys out there are following Twitter and just different updates, you know, be careful because, you know, Mason Kinsey, I saw that there were a few reports that he had a couple drops. Technically, there were a couple drops on Tuesday. But I'm going to tell you what happened. Will Levis was 4 yards away from him. It was a, you know, a quick, kind of like a hot read. It wasn't really a hot read, but it was like a quick slant that he ran. Mason Kinsey out of the slot. Will Levis threw a lightning bolt, and it hit him right between the one and the two. Now, we know Mason Kinsey, like, I can't recall a time in practice where he caught the ball with his body. He always catches it out in front of him. That lets you know there was too much on the ball. Now, it hit him right in the chest, and it bounced up, and everybody was like, oh, that Mason Kinsey dropped. Okay, yeah, technically he dropped it, but you know what? That's more on Levis than Kinsey.
Absolutely. And you're dealing with, and I say this respectfully, you're dealing with a lot of people that really don't know ball. I mean, that's what Mac had to learn when he got in the NFL, to where if I'm in a shallow cross, I don't need to beam it.
Yeah.
I mean, just throw it to where he can catch the ball. And once Mac understood that, he knew when to throw it hard. He knew when to put it in the window. He knew when he had to throw a fastball. But when you're like 2 yards away and you throwing a fastball, man, nobody's going to catch that thing. Okay, who you are?
Yeah, I mean, it was like Zeus threw that, man. I was like, what the heck, man? But, you know, and then there was another one. He ran across the middle again, and the linebacker just kind of like rocked him, and it came out. You know, but it's like, put some context to that, man. Don't just say the dude dropped it, because then, you know, you're putting a bad miss. And even with Levis, you know, he went 17 or 23 at one stretch, and people went crazy. And I talked about this in the previous segment. People went crazy that it wasn't reported. Well, you know what? If I'm throwing 5 yard passes, like, you better go even better than that. You know, but
that's 21.
That's way off topic. But you look at Kinsey, like you said, he's a guy that's probably going to be odd man out. I think they keep McMath. I mean, I really think McMath is that sixth guy.
And with him being that sixth guy, but you got Treshawn Harrison and those guys doing punt return, what else special teams can he be at? Can he be a gunner? Can he be a kickoff
gunner?
Team?
Yeah.
Now that's where the value comes in.
But then also, they had him at kick return at times last year. So you get the double bonus, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So those are some of the things, that, you know, to look at. But let's flip it to the other side of the ball real quick. And because Harold Landry, I mean, first day of training camp, he's out there with no brace on. I remember watching him run out, and I was like, oh, he must have forgot his brace. No, he didn't forget it.
Wow.
He just didn't have one. And he's been like that the whole time. Forklift Andre Dillard, first day of pass, forklifting back into the quarterback. Wow. You know, out there, you know, got that same burst off off the ball and everything. That's been impressive. But when you have Danico Autry, you have Arden Key.
Oh, my God.
The inside-outside versatility with them, how critical is it to be able to give different looks as far as your front is concerned?
Dude, it's going to be huge. I mean, I know they run that 3-4, but when you have different guys playing different positions, the defense is so fast. I mean, just looking at practice and looking at video, do you know that the front is consistently in the backfield? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's scary. You got, I mean, you got Simmons, you got T.A. Tart, you got Archer, you got Landry, you got all these, Arden Key, all these guys that are fast and physical, and they're going to play fast. I'm going to tell you something, man. This defense can be one of the best defenses in the league. I'm telling you, man. I mean, just watch them, how they practice. They practice with a purpose. They have an attitude that, you know, that Arden Key bought. They already had an attitude with Simmons, but now you are, you add Arden Key, who brings a fire. He talks trash. He's one of those guys that we talk about this all the time, that if he wasn't on your team, you want to fight him every day because he's that type of guy. He's kind of like Pac-Man. You want to just fight that dude every day because he just gets underneath your skin. But that's the kind of attitude that you want to bring in NFL. You got to have that guy. You got to have Jeffrey Simmons. You got to have Arden Key. You got to have Harold Landry. A fast defense with an attitude that's mean, that's nasty. Let's go get it, man, because I'm going to tell you something. This can be a great, great defense.
How much do you think that pass rush could help the back end?
Oh, big time. I mean, you don't have to. I mean, you don't have to cover long. I mean, if the quarterback is doing a 3-step drop and you got Simmons and Archer and the guys in his face, they can't throw a ball to the window. And we always talk about, you know, doing the little things. When I say doing the little things, is when you're making a rush and you put your hands up and you bat the ball. That's a play lost by the offense. So when you have things like that, that batting balls down and putting pressure on the quarterback and, you know, making the quarterback feel uneasy in the pocket and he makes bad decisions. That's what you need with this front. I think this front can definitely do that because we saw a glimpse of it last year.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I asked Jeffrey Simmons about that. One of the things that he said, and Shane Bowen reiterated as well as Mike Vrabel, is, yeah, the sacks are good, but they want those strip sacks.
They want
to turn the football over. And it was interesting because Simmons said, hey, the quarterback holds the ball more than anybody else. And he fumbles more than anybody else. And then, sure enough, Shane Bowen was like, 24 out of the 26 top fumblers are quarterbacks. So it was really cool to see that relay. You know what I mean? And this was different days where they said it. I think it's clear that the message is there.
Yeah, and also, I can remember the year. I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago when Tom Brady was with the Patriots. And remember, he was in the Patriots. Everybody's talking about the Titans didn't have a chance, and you know they it was going to be over. You know, Tom Brady was going to kill him.
Match
and all of a sudden, yep. And all of a sudden, they start getting pressure in the A and B gap, and he couldn't step up and make the throw. So when you have a pass rush with Simmons, T.A. Tart, you know, Autry, Landry, and they start to collapse that pocket, I don't care if you're Tom Brady, I don't care if you're Jim Plunkett, I don't care if you're John Elway. When you're uncomfortable in the pocket, you're going to have happy feet, and you're going to start to make mistakes. And I think this defensive line is going to cause a lot of quarterbacks to make a mistake. Why? Because they're uncomfortable in the pocket.
And see, I'm going to close it on this.
Sure.
Right? You notice how many $90-plus million defensive tackles are emerging, right?
Uh-huh.
What does a quarterback like the least? They hate that pocket being pushed back into their, because they don't want to step into their throw going down the field because they're scared they're going to bang their helmet, their hand on the helmet, right? So if you're getting $90 million interior pass rushers, guess what you need? Interior pass blockers. For those who say, how do you take a guard at a left? Well, here, that's how. You see how the league goes in circles, right? You have some of the best pass rushers are interior guys. You need someone to protect that pocket up the middle because if that's collapsed from the interior, it's over. I don't care what you – it's over.
Look at Aaron Donald.
Exactly.
He causes havoc. But where does he cause havoc? You already know. And if you look at when they played in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, the final play where they need to make a play, where did they sector? Where did they put pressure on the quarterback for him to throw an interception?
That's right. Right.
Aaron Donald.
That's it. Yep. Hey, you know what, by the way, I meant to tell you. I was watching this movie the other day, right, Cole? You remember Boomerang? Remember that scene? Yo, this is funny. I couldn't believe it. Remember that scene when it was after Marcus got with Lady Eloise.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Right? And then this was before. He was walking right. into the general lobby.
Yeah.
And, male guy came out and he said, Marcus, what's the average on how soon you get the new executive? My daughter looked at me and was like, I didn't know the guy that you do radio with had a box. I said, no, that's not Chris Sanders. That's Chris Rock.
Oh, that is dope. Man, get off my phone, man.
This is Elijah Molden. I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break. Talking with TD. You hear that, Busta Rhymes? He was just here at Bridgestone Arena. Busta Rhymes, 50 Cent, and Jeremiah. Didn't get to check it out, but I know Chase McCabe, our program manager, got to check it out and said it was a dope contract. But, yeah, let's keep this thing rolling, man. Elijah Molden brought us in, and I'll start with him because I want to get into the secondary a little bit. And as I said in the opening segment, Mike Vrabel has really talked about Elijah Molden, his emergence as the number three safety. That's what you're seeing there. Shane Bowen has talked about it as well. And I tell you what, I really like that situation. Because, as you remember, we had Elijah Molden on talking with TD. It was four of them. It was Elijah Molden, Keith Taylor, Levi Onwuzurike, and Joe Tryon. They were all on the fourth, all four of them at the same time. But one of the things with Elijah Molden that, you know, stood out to me, like he was someone I compared to a Buda Baker, which Buda Baker, who I compared to Tyrann Mathieu, guys that could play the nickel or the safety position really well, but you could also use them as blitzers. And I think Molden, you go back to the Tampa game a couple years ago, his rookie year, he showed how he could blitz. I mean, he came up and kind of ducked under that lineman and got the sack. Molden, I think, is a very solid option at safety, the third safety, and allows you to do a quote-unquote three safety look, right? You could have Molden in the block with Kevin Byard and Amani Hooker deep. When you want to go to your two deep looks, I think that's a really good option. And Molden, he brings the physicality of a linebacker, right? He makes plays that tackles like a linebacker. Now, the coverage side of it, look, you don't want him matched up with anybody that's fast going up the seam. Like, you don't want that matchup. And we saw that, the Christian Kirk matchup in his rookie year 2 years ago in the season opener. It wasn't good. But I still think Molden is a solid option there. You look at Shaim Carter also is another one I think is going to challenge for a roster spot at safety. But I want to talk about the guys on the outside. And first things first, Sean Murphy-Button and Christian Fulton figure to be the starters. McCreary, I haven't really seen him lining up outside much. He's working a lot from the nickel, and that's fine because they're going to use a lot of sub packages. He'll work outside as well. But I think, you know, when you look at how Mike Vrabel has talked about this in the past, they didn't want to put too much on him last year just as far as having him be forced to know nickel as well as outside. It's okay. It's okay. He plays with enough physicality. And I asked him about that. You know, I was like, hey, did you put on any weight or anything like that during this offseason, knowing that you were going to have an increased role in the nickel position? You know, knowing the physicality is going to be. He's like, man, I've always been physical. And he just smiled. And I like that with McCreary. Yeah, that's how you want to approach things, right? You know, this is nothing new, man. I play with physical tendencies anyway. So you have that. But Murphy Bunting, he has one of the three interceptions of training camp, and he was at the right place, the right time. Solid coverage on DeAndre Hopkins. They had a miscommunication where Hopkins turned one way, the ball was the other way, and Murphy Bunting was in coverage and picked it off. So that's a good thing. But the guy I want to focus on this segment to close this show is Christian Fulton, and I know there was a lot made of Christian Fulton not taking part in OTAs and then mini camp. He wasn't there for a good part of it, but then when he was there, he was in the building. Look, he went to Miami. he got with a trainer who helped LeBron James fight a lot of the hamstring and soft tissue injuries. The guy works with he worked with Dwayne Wade as well. He was really focused on coming back and not having those injuries. He wanted to be at a good weight. And actually, you know what? Mike Vrabel was complimentary of Fulton, how he looked as far as going through the conditioning test and just physically how he looked. Here's Mike Vrabel on Christian Fulton at the start of training camp.
Try to stay consistent and be good in the multiple coverages that we're asking him to play. And again, just his physical demeanor. He just, you know, and again, there were times last year early on just from his rehab and things that he was going through. He just looks physically, he looked better. Physically, he looked, saw him this morning at breakfast. So, you know, he had your weight, you know, was monitoring that. And those are things, you know, we have guys that have different problems than the head coach. They had trouble, you know, keeping weight on. And so, you know, we monitor that and then making sure that for these hot days that they're eating, and Lauren and Frank and Todd are on top of that. So, you know, that's part of, you know, I think Christian just his overall strength and his size that he can be 195 pounds and still be athletic and still be able to run and transition. So, so far, so good.
So he is at 195 pounds right now. That's a lot different than coming into last year. He was sick. He had a surgery. He was trying to get his weight back and his strength back. It was a late surgery, late illness, and it zapped him for a little bit. So there were things that happened, but, I mean, look, man, this is the league. You got to play through it, and you're expected to perform. He had some injury issues, but this year I think is going to be an up year. Here's Shane Bowen, his defensive coordinator, on what he's seen from Christian Fulton through the first week of camp.
I think he came back ready to go. I think this is probably the best shape he's been here, been in since he's been here. Looks stronger, looks more physical, looks in condition. I think the addition of Hopkins is huge for him too, just the competition aspect of it. Again, it's always been for Christian, and we tell him this, it's the consistency, right? Play in and play out. And to have that competition play in and play out here in practice, it requires a high level of focus, right? To be able to go out and execute and do what we're asking him to do and ultimately end up winning your one-on-one versus a guy like that. So hopefully that continues with him. He's off to a great start right now. Big year for him. He knows that. We know that. So hopefully it continues.
It is definitely a big year for Christian Fulton. It's a contract year, man. And look, he's trying to get paid. And I think like anyone else, you want to get paid your worth. So he's trying to increase that worth. And consistency has been the key thing for him, staying consistent. And I know in the past, there were times where he would tell me, like, sometimes he'd get bored. And, you know, that's one of the things as a top-notch corner, you got to stay locked in, right, regardless of whether they're coming your way or not. But we don't really get to hear a lot from Christian Fulton. So John Glennon and I were able to kind of corner him and get some questions in. So I wanted to bring it right to you. Here's John Glennon and I talking with Christian Fulton after practice on Tuesday.
So, you know, had to meet expectations, you know, hopefully exceed them.
When you're, I guess, obviously at a skill spot like the corner, do you got to be careful about how much, I guess, you're putting on it as opposed to taking away from speed or anything like that?
You know, just being comfortable where I'm at. I feel like I know a weight where I feel comfortable, you know, playing at, you know, where I feel like I'm weighing too much and I'm moving slow or whatever. So, you know, it's part of the process, you know, over these past 3 years of learning that.
What weight are you? You're 195?
Yeah, like 195.
And then with that whole decision to go to Miami and do that training, what was behind that? How did you arrive and even get with that trainer?
I sat down, you know, this was like right after I had got hurt last year for the Eagles game with my groin. And, you know, I had some time, you know, just to sit back, you know, and decide. You know, I talked with my friend Kent. He kind of came to me, you know, with David, and he thought it was like the perfect, you know, match for me. You know, obviously switching from group training, you know, and being in a group session, I mean, and going to like someone one-on-one, you know, that'll push me, you know, to be, you know, where I need to be at.
So that was all individualized training?
Yeah.
Doing. It wasn't with other players?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, like, comparing that to last year, I know, you know, like you were sick coming in.
Mm-hmm.
How much different is it for you now, you know, coming in? Because it seems like you're playing with more confidence.
Yeah.
Consistency is there.
Yeah.
And I even see you out here talking a little trash.
Yeah. Wait, say it again with the beginning. At the beginning, what's your question?
Just as far as like, as opposed to last year, right, you know, like you were sick and you weren't coming into the year as well as you are this year.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot, a big difference. Like you said, I came out of surgery with my shoulder last year, so I wasn't really able to do anything physically on the field. You know, I was able to do a little footwork, but I was still limited. You know, even when I was at OTAs. I was getting my way back up from being sick last offseason. So, you know, then it's about, you know, like I said, those reps are important, you know, getting those offseason reps as far as, like, on-field work, you know, things like that, all that's important. So that was the difference from last year to this year, you know. And like I said, once you put the right training, you know, you feel great. You know, you're coming into camp confident, you know, your body and the work that you put in from those reps.
How hard was that decision, Christian, to not, you know, stay here for OTAs and things like that and to kind of make the decision to kind of more on your – I'm sure coaches are always saying, hey, we want you up here, we want you in the facility.
Yeah.
How tough was that call?
I mean, it was more so tough on my end, you know, as far as because not being here for OTAs, because I know that I was going to be one of the older corners coming in. So I know that I needed to be here for that leadership for the younger guys. But I know I also needed to make sure that my body was right and I'm on the field for the guys, you know, that's here for my team. So that was kind of the decision, you know. I already had made up my mind, you know, that I was kind of going to, you know, miss OTAs, you know, by getting that training and, you know, the extra training and making sure, you know, that I was ready to go.
What's your approach just as far as mentally knowing this is a contract year? Like, how do you go about compartmentalizing?
Yeah, I mean, really, like I said, just doing what I have to do personally. You know, I have to block out all outside noise, you know, that's off the field. Really just making sure I do what I have to do for my body to be ready to go. And that's a day-to-day process. You know, I can't skip days. I can't skip a week, take a week off, none of that. I got to do what I got to do day-to-day to make sure I'm ready to go for tomorrow. And that's just my mentality, you know, focusing on the day that I'm in. You know, being present in the moment I'm in, whether it's meetings, you know, just so I, you know, be as detailed as I can, you know, going into the next day.
And being out here on the field, right, you got DeAndre Hopkins comes. Yeah. Coach Bowen has said that that's something that's really good for you. How are you benefiting from having a guy like that?
Yeah. He has so much experience, you know, so I know he's playing the game within the game, you know, pre-snap, during the snap. And, you know, that's something that, you know, me and him, you know, get to talk about. We have some of those conversations to where it's like what he's seeing from me, and I get to ask him what he's seeing. And, you know, like I said, he's an all-pro veteran, you know, so he knows, you know, what he's doing out there. So it's good to get those looks, you know, day in and day out.
Does he talk a lot of trash out there?
Nah, he don't really talk. He hasn't been talking trash, nah.
In your time playing, who has been the receiver that talks the most trash?
Who talked the most? Probably DK. When I went against DK at my second year, he probably talked the most. So.
Shane Bowen was saying, like, one thing that they're really focused on with you is consistency. I mean, he gave you props for playing well, but how can you work on being more consistent?
Just like I said, being present for the day, you know, taking each meeting, you know, it's something I can learn each meeting, it's something I can learn each practice. Being present in the moment, I know I won't be perfect, you know, every snap or every meeting or whatever it may be, but I feel like if I'm being present, you know, and I'm being as detailed as I can be within the calls, playing within the schemes, then, you know, I'll be consistent and be put in position to make plays.
Last thing I was going to ask you to play down there today when you were covering D-Hop. Ricky came up kind of limping. I was wondering, in your mind, you're like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't nothing too serious. It was just like a little sweat. I landed kind of. I took a wrong step, I'll say, you know. But I was fine. I feel fine.
Relief, not that
it's
not me.
Cool.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Christian.
So that was Christian Fulton right there. And for those who are wondering, he was defending DeAndre Hopkins on a go route late in that call it period on Tuesday. And it was an incompletion. And then they got a little tangled up. And then he kind of favored one leg over the other coming off the field. But he did come back in on special teams, you know, on field goal blocks. So it should be okay there, but obviously, you know, when you have a guy who's encountered as many injuries, you definitely are like, all right, that's something that we're going to have to note. But nevertheless, things look good for Christian Fulton. So I wanted to, you know, give you guys a chance just to hear from him, some of the things that you know, went on and his thoughts. So I appreciate John Glennon. We were able to team up there. More importantly, man, appreciate David James putting
always,
all together.
Always
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, and Chris Sanders, you know, coming on, Run TMC, Talking Shop. And I tell you what, above all else, I appreciate each of you. So definitely make sure you continue rocking with us. Hey, man, we're going to have football soon, right? We got We got the Bears game, the first preseason one, and then right after that, it's going to be joint practices with the Vikings. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, make sure you check us out, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Talking with TD, subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.